If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders Prospect Show. I'm Adam Weinrib, joined as always by FanSided's prospect guru, Eric Cole. And I like saying that. I noticed we got an AI summary last week of the podcast, and it called you FanSided's prospect guru. And I know it did that. Nice. And I say that because that's not printed anywhere. That's just straight from the horse's mouth. Me being the dang horse. We're here to talk about the return on investment that the Red Sox got in the Rafael Devers trade, because what else would we be talking about on any show, prospect show, sports card show, car show, other than the blockbuster Sunday night Rafael Devers trade this week? This is the week to talk about it. Robert Murray broke it. He blew up all of our phones. He blew up his own phone. And the sole purpose, main purpose, stated purpose was getting out from under the money, right? So caveat emptor, and on this whole conversation, the Boston Red Sox, we don't know what deals they passed on. We heard a rumor John Henry passed on one slightly better package, but we know they were excited that the San Francisco Giants wanted to take on the entirety of the salary owed to Rafael Devers. That's 8.5 years. That's a whole lot of hundreds of millions of dollars. So that affects things. But ultimately, Kyle Harrison, James Tibbs, Jordan Hicks in the bullpen, not quite so exciting. What does it mean? How do they supplement the Red Sox core? Do we believe in the Red Sox prospect core that was brought up to not be saviors, but now must be saviors? The Red Sox have won 6 straight. They haven't lost in a while. They just took 5 in a row from the Yankees. So we're here to talk about and answer all your questions, get to the bottom of what's going on, plus talk about risers and fallers from throughout the minor league ranks this week. Eric Cole, how you doing? You finally settled?
I mean, it was kind of wild starting on Sunday for all of us. We were all, I'm a father, and we were doing Father's Day stuff. And then I looked down at my phone and things kind of escalated from there. We're kind of trying to get our feet back under us for figuring out exactly what went on with this trade and getting everything covered. And I think we're still trying to really understand exactly what has transpired and, how much Boston liked some of these guys versus just they took it because this is the team that was willing to pay the most money. Again, it's a kind of a fascinating puzzle to solve, but again, we weren't kind of expecting to be having these sort of conversations yet. Usually these big trades, it's July. That's when we get those. And instead, the Red Sox decided to, throw a grenade on the weekend and get us starting, this trade conversation a bit early.
Usually these trades are July, but this one, people were hinting in sort of the what went wrong, what's going on in the shit show that is Boston aftermath pieces, that this was more likely to happen in the spring than it was this weekend, which is even crazier to me because we were debating whether or not this would ever reach the point of fraying that far. And apparently it may have reached that peak right when we first learned about the conflict, which gives you more of an inclination as to why this ended up going down in the way that did. Hey, join us in the Discord. If you are not there, we recommend hitting us up there. You can hit Eric and I. You can hit Robert between shows. FanSided's own MLB insider, Robert Murray, is there answering questions. He'll be there at 3 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday in a private Q&A. You can also read our content in the Moonshot. You should subscribe to that email. That's the best of the FanSided MLB staff writer team. It goes out in a newsletter directly to your inbox. You can also read all that and more on fansided.com/baseball-insiders for the best of our content, including Eric's supplementary prospect columns. So look, I don't think it's funny. I'm struggling to balance the idea that the Red Sox are just a complete shit show, with the reality that they're playing much better on the field lately and they do have a prospect core. But there is a clear fracture between Craig Breslow and his more experienced team employees, one of whom called him an effing stiff on a Zoom call when he did not know he had not signed off the Zoom call. Who among us has not had that nightmare? I think we all have. But the bottom line is, Breslow, no matter what fractures exist, Breslow and ownership worked together and decided that Devers was an untenable personage on this roster. They get Kyle Harrison and they get James Tibbs. Those are the two highest upside plays to join the roster. Jordan Hicks, they spoke about as a reliever last night. He's an expensive one, making $10 million a year for 25 total, because the half of this year and the next two at 10. Who knows how long he lasts in Boston. But Harrison and Tibbs are the upside plays, and I think the prospects, people are wondering, couldn't the Red Sox have done better? To be fair to the Red Sox, these are two pretty highly pedigreed names from the last year, even if their output has not been quite up to code so far, and even if Tibbs particularly makes almost no sense for the way the Red Sox roster is constructed. He is the trade baitiest, and we'll talk about him in a bit. But Kyle Harrison, who's someone that Robert and I have talked about a lot on the show, he's a favorite prospect of Robert's. Major league cameo. It doesn't seem like he's able to get the swing and miss. It doesn't seem like he has the big league breaking ball. The fastball rates highly. The velo hasn't been maybe as eye-popping as some of us thought it would be. He has not carved up the majors like he's carved up the minors. He has looked like a four or a five. And is he a starter long-term? That I'm not sure either. So without much data to go off of, there does seem to be a famous fracture. Craig Breslow fracturing. Kyle Harrison's AAA profile and his major league profile, also there's a fracture there. What have you seen so far? Do you believe in him as much as you did a year ago? Or where were you at on prospect Kyle Harrison too, even before we saw major leaguer Kyle Harrison?
I'm definitely less on him than I was a year ago. And it's not just because of like the trade and like even the numbers that he was in the major leagues. He had some like injury issues last year that made things a little bit problematic for him. And look, if there's nothing about his profile except the results that kind of gives you some reason to hang your head on it, if that makes any sense. I still think he has a chance to reach that high ceiling of like maybe like a number two or a number three starter, right? And a good one. But I think the chances of that are small. And the reason why is like, look, it's a fastball, but it's like low to mid 90s. And it has good action at the top of the zone, so he gets some bad swings on it. But it's more like bad swings that lead to bad contact, not like getting guys to miss or chase out of the zone, because he doesn't have, like you said, that those secondaries to get guys to respect something diving out of the zone or being way outside, way inside. So as a result, it's, again, he has to kind of pitch to contact, which is a tough profile a lot of times. I love the lefty arm. I love the arm speed. It's good extension. So there's like reason to like it. But at the same time, again, the odds are small. And to your point about being a reliever, my issue with that is that the reasons why he wouldn't make it as a starter would make him a really bad reliever, if that makes any sense. If he can't make it as a starter, he's maybe a long man or something like that in the middle innings, then I guess he could do that. But if the stuff is good enough, then he's going to be good enough to be a starter. But if it's not, then like it's not going to play up in the bullpen, because he's not going to like find two or three more miles per hour on the fastball or anything like that, I don't think. Yeah. So as a result, I'm just not as excited about him.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, again, you would never make the centerpiece of a trade like this a potential middle reliever, like a 4 or 5 starter or a middle reliever ceiling, unless you were desperately trying to get out of a relationship you believe was dead. And I think that's going to be the central question, is whether this relationship was as dead as Craig Breslow and Sam Kennedy were hinting yesterday. It's such a funny modern thing where I wasn't in the room, I don't know. But I can't imagine that there weren't similar points in the Manny Ramirez and the Red Sox relationship and the David Ortiz and the Red Sox relationship. But David Ortiz pretty much said as much yesterday that, like, you have to be a man. We've all had moments of disagreement and discord with the front office, and then you need to work it out. I think this being under the 2025 microscope hurt. I think Devers' reaction hurt. I think Devers overreacted to something that maybe could have been handled behind closed doors. That said, I'm still going to fault ownership and management over the player in this instance, but they're certainly trying the smear campaign on the way out. More importantly, I'm pretty confident that in 2004 with the media the way it was, if you didn't have Nomar Garciaparra going on ESPN radio and being like, stop pursuing shortstops, you would have been able to cover up something like this. But Nomar took it to the extreme. He found himself on the outs. Devers took it to the extreme. We never thought this was coming this summer, and it turns out it probably should have happened in March, and it only got marginally better. Nobody really felt that it had gotten better, and that's the kind of thing that leads you to trade Devers for Harrison. And for James Tibbs, who the Red Sox could have drafted last year, and I kind of thought they were going to, they preferred Braden Montgomery, who ended up being a great trade piece and helped them get the Garrett Crochet deal across the finish line. But at the time of the Sox drafting Montgomery, it was hard not to feel like, oh my God, they've added another incredible trade chip. Like, they have this high upside outfielder. They have an outfield full of high upside outfielders. They have too many to count. So they'll use Montgomery at some point. The question was whether he breaks out in their system or someone else's. Turned out they got rid of him pretty much as quickly as they could, and he's thriving in Chicago's system. Tibbs, the OPS is there. He's obviously an advanced college bat, thriving at high A. It's hard.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
To sort of extrapolate what he's doing, and it's not like the numbers are so ridiculous that I'm able to get on this show and be like, he's lighting it up at high A. He's ready for Worcester. But this feels to me, I've heard some speculation from Boston's end about him maybe being a first base option down the line if he develops, supplement Casas, maybe get what you thought you were getting out of Casas out of him. I'm sort of inclined to roll my eyes at all that and say trade bait again, but curious your thoughts on the player and his future in Boston or maybe elsewhere.
I think he's further away, far enough away to kind of not ascribe a future to him quite yet. As long as once he figures out, once it's shown that he can hit consistently, hit for actual power over a longer sample, then maybe you can start figuring out where to play him defensively. Cause that's not really, again, that's never going to be a carrying tool for him wherever he is right now. Before I talk about Tibbs, I will answer Uncle Ted's question in the chat about, you know, teaching Kyle Harrison a cutter. I think you're grossly overestimating how easy it is to teach a basically finished pitching product how to throw a cutter. A cutter is a very difficult pitch to throw, and his delivery doesn't necessarily lend itself to that, because what you need from a cutter for what you are talking about, which is dealing with opposite-handed hitters, is that you need arm side run. And that means your delivery, if you have a lower release point like Kyle Harrison has, that is a very hard thing to make the ball do, right? So I don't think it's going to be a cutter. I just think he needs to figure out how to throw a changeup, and I think that he actually needs to work on a grip that actually works for him. It's the short version of the story. Or maybe throw a splitter. Everyone seems to be throwing those these days, and those are a lot of fun. As for Tibbs, I understand why Tibbs fell the way he did. I mean, he was probably one of the better hitters in college baseball the year he was drafted, but at the same time, like, no one was particularly high on him defensively. He just didn't have a home, right? I just don't think he's a guy that people were willing to bet a top 10 pick on, even though the bat was there. Now, again, once he's gotten into professional baseball, you know, there's still some questions about him in terms of his, like, ability to make consistent contact. But what you like about him is that when he does make contact, it's loud. And then when you're talking about, like, his ability to draw walks, even when he's not, like, hitting 280, 290, which is kind of what a lot of people maybe thought he would have done in the low minors, he's still walking at, like, an incredibly high rate. His approach is still good. So I still like him. As for what his future holds, talk to me when we see Tristan Casas back. And, like, I can figure out if he can actually move anymore. Because, I mean, like, that was a scary injury that happened to Casas. You take talent. And in this case, a bat that you can maybe fill in, you could throw him in left field maybe. He has a decent arm. Or you put him at first base. Or he's a DH at the long term. Whatever it takes. But if you figure out if he's hitting at AA or AAA, you can kind of figure out the defense later. Ideally, you have a guy who is, like, an up-the-middle defender who can, like, play shortstop, play center field, and hits 30 home runs a year. That would obviously be awesome. But that's not really how it works a lot of the time. You have to kind of pick and choose your battles. And with Tibbs, you're going to have to kind of understand that maybe he's just not going to be a particularly valuable defensive player, which puts a lot of pressure on the bat, but the bat may also just be good enough to you make that kind of choice.
Either way, no real jump scares in this mix, although Giants fans mourning Kyle Harrison's departure a little bit because of what was sold to them and what they thought he might be. It's an odd deal. No one should be arguing that the Red Sox don't have enough in-house to make it to the finish line and contend for a playoff spot this year, because they do, and they should go all in at the deadline to supplement that. They're in a playoff spot right now, but I do think it's a fallacy to say they're better off without Rafael Devers. Like Craig Breslow said, if they do get to the postseason, I think you can just pretty objectively look at whatever they did and say, okay, but they would have been 3 wins better with Rafael Devers, or perhaps 4, maybe 5. So I think they're going to be worse than they would have been, and I think they could be a playoff team anyway. And I don't think you're going to see much of Kyle Harrison or James Tibbs in the Major League mix this season. But that's where I'm at right now. I reserve the right to change my take in 2 weeks when I see how full throttle they are at the deadline. They should also sell some rentals, because they can. What a weird franchise. What a weird Craig Breslow
weird place to be in. Weird place to be in. I agree.
Craig Breslow having a time for sure. All right, let's talk about brighter things. This week's risers and fallers. And we will start with the risers at the minor league level as we get ready to kick off another week of action. Who was the hottest last week? And there's someone here who we've been avoiding talking about because we're like, we don't want to talk about them on every single show. But then, like, oops, sometimes they're just so good that you have to talk about them on at least one show. So it might be a while before we cycle back to Connor Griffin. But by gummit, he's here.
Yeah, look, we're talking about Connor Griffin. I mean, off camera, Adam and I are like, we just can't keep talking about Connor Griffin every week unless he, like, actually falls off. He got called up to high A. That was probably overdue, because in low A, he was kind of a man amongst boys. And the idea was that he might actually take a minute or two to adjust to that level. Instead, what happened is he's just like this giga athlete who just immediately kept raking. Went 11 for 27 last week, 4 doubles, 2 homers, 6 stolen bases, had more walks than strikeouts. At this point, I'm not going to be surprised if by the end of July, he's called up to double A. Now, the Pirates aren't going to call him up to the big leagues early, because the Pirates are one of the most notoriously difficult teams in terms of dealing with service time and wanting to get as much as they humanly possible. But this kid can absolutely play and can do anything on a baseball field physically. Now, is that going to stick long term? Is he going to like continue being like hitting 300 all the time? Maybe not, but it might. That the hit tool is really the only one that's marginally questionable. The power's there, the speed's there, and the defense is there. Not really sure what else you want from the guy, and he was really awesome last week. A few other names I wanted to talk about. One is Bryce Matthews, who's a guy I've been kind of waiting on breaking out for a while, because he showed signs last year of breaking out, and then he got off to kind of a slow start this year. You know, just it took him long enough, but at the same time, he's one of those giga athletes, was raw to start his pro career, even coming out of college, because he was kind of a multi-sport guy and didn't really focus on baseball. And last week was his best week of the year by a wide margin. Went 12 for 28, hit 3 home runs, stole a couple bases, 2 triples, which is not something that you necessarily see very often, but with minor league defense, I certainly could see happening. Played really well, and again, he's a guy that's going to factor into the Astros' plans in the relatively near future. If he can keep hitting like this, that infield is kind of in a weird place in terms of long-term extensions and, you know, whether or not they have the defensive ability to kind of stick there long-term. The second base situation in particular looks pretty problematic. One name that I'm kind of surprised we haven't talked about, but it just kind of fell under the radar even for me, is Travis Sikora. Again, he's a guy that like was like a relatively highly regarded pitching prospect, but the Nationals kind of stink, so no one really cares about him if their name's not James Wood or Dylan Cruz. And he had hip surgery, which kind of cost him an early part of the year. But through 8 starts, 0.93 ERA seems pretty good, and he's a 6-6 pitcher with a hammer splitter and like really good extension, where like he like just drop a really good splitter 5 feet in front of home plate, and like you can kind of understand why guys are having trouble with again. Only made 1 start last week, only went 5 innings, but he only gave up 2 hits and struck out 10 batters, which again, seemed pretty good. Didn't give up any runs. And the last name for risers this week, Max Anderson, a different Max to talk about on the drive for the Tigers. Drafted out of Nebraska. Everyone thought he could hit. They weren't sure what he was going to do defensively. Then he got to the pros. People still don't know what he's going to do defensively, but he wasn't hitting, so it kind of didn't matter. And he kind of got toned down a bit as a prospect. And then last week, 8 for 21, 2 homers, multiple extra hits beyond that, drove in 5 runs, was, again, has been hitting like the guy that we kind of thought he could be. And now the Tigers might actually get to make a fun decision with him because he's already a double A and maybe he could factor into their plans. But that's what I've got for risers this week.
Well, the fallers list is, there's a reason we save it for the end of the show because it's sad. And it's especially sad this week because I don't want to talk about these people, but we have to because that's the obligation that we have as podcasters. We have to deliver on the promise of the premise. A couple of the guys having the worst weeks in pro ball and between the minors and the majors are the guys who we love and who we are excited to watch in spotlight scenarios, and they stink. So the floor is yours.
So I'll start with the elephant in the room, and that's Bubba Chandler. Friendly reminder, we love Bubba Chandler on this podcast, and when Bubba's pitching really well, he is absolutely a guy who should be called up to the major leagues and will help the Pirates. The problem is that the last few times he's been on the mound, walks have been a problem, and he didn't even escape the first inning last week. He walked 4 batters, and they just kind of yanked him out. In my mind, there's 2 most likely outcomes. One is that he knows that he's playing for a promotion, gets in his head a bit, the command goes, things go haywire. He has a few bad starts. This is not something that's uncommon. When you start seeing like the general manager watching your starts, makes you wonder if they're going to be doing something with your status. And if he sees that happening, maybe he was kind of freaking out a little bit. And that would be understandable. The other thing that would be a little scarier is if he has an injury going on and that's causing his command to go, which it's not something I would not be particularly happy about because I love watching Bubba Chandler pitch. I think he's fantastic. Again, I'm not going to kill him over it for a little bit of a rough stretch, but it hasn't been particularly awesome for the last couple weeks or so, especially when it comes to walks. The other one's Jack Caglione. Again, check the record, check the episode, that past episodes. We are pro Jack Caglione here.
We have begged for him to be on the show. Again, we love him. That's why I don't want to do this. Eric came to me with these names and I said, cancel the segment. I'm taking the show off the air. And he was like, we have to. We absolutely have to. The people demand that we be honest. I was like, you're right. We do have to uphold a certain code and standard of conduct. So here we are, Jack Caglione, who Devin Williams rocked to sleep last week in the last good moment for the New York Yankees playing baseball on the baseball field.
Yeah, and again, I'm not super worried about Caglione because the thing that we're like worried about, and like again, we talked to Jim Callis about this, and we've talked about it amongst ourselves, is like the chase rate. Is he going to strike out too much? And he's not striking out too much right now. He's just, the balls aren't falling. He hasn't been able to square anything up quite yet. Still in search of his first homer. Only a 484 OPS since he's been promoted to the big leagues, which is certainly not exciting. But again, if the strikeouts were there, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But ultimately, he seems like he's going to be fine. Just kind of a stinky sort of week. And the last one's Jason Chourio, brother of Jackson Chourio, for those who aren't aware, but he's in the Guardians organization, was actually having a good year. And again, this is just a week. This is just a snapshot in time of guys that we do like. This is a top 100 prospect. I don't think that's going to change. He's going to be a guy that's not going to be quite the power upside of his brother, but he's a guy who can just hit. And, you know, it seems like a very Guardians guy. It's just a guy who doesn't have a standout tool, but just kind of does a lot of things pretty well. And as a result, turns into a big leaguer that way. Got promoted to high last week and only had 1 hit all week. Not so great. And that kind of feels bad. But at the same time, these things happen, especially right after guys get promoted. And as a result, we kind of see him be challenged a little bit. It's up to him to step up to that challenge now. And that's what I've got.
That's what we've got. We appreciate everybody joining us. Thanks for sticking with us at a slightly off kilter time. We will be back here at noon Eastern next week, next Tuesday, to talk more ball and to talk more minor league action. But obviously, we had our first prospect package of the summer to interrupt the proceedings. More trades to come. Will another name be traded as big as Rafael Devers? Robert says no. I say no. Will better prospects be traded in a deal for a name smaller than Rafael Devers? I say yes. I think we're going to have better prospects dealt in another deal. Keep an eye out for Sandy Alcantara. Keep an eye out for maybe some thievery, some names Eric and I like below the surface. We're going to be talking about it all here on the Baseball Insiders Prospect Show, writing about it on the Baseball Insiders feed on fansider.com. That is fansider.com/baseball-insiders. Gossiping about it in the Baseball Insiders Discord. Come join us. Hit that join button below the video. That's how you get the link to the Discord to bother Eric and I and Robert Murray between shows. Plus, subscribe to the Moonshot, our weekly baseball email newsletter, where it makes you don't even have to visit anything. You just have to put your email in and you get the stuff that you could get from the website. But also, come to the website. There's so much stuff there. And also the Discord and also the video and also podcasts. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. I'm going to be doing some reporting from Fanatics Fest this week. So if you are a card person, stay tuned. I'm going to maybe try to get some celebrity. You ever try to spend like 4 or 5 hours in a place full of celebrities and try to bump into them yourselves and steal 5 seconds of their time knowing that you probably can't? That's what I'm going to be doing on Friday. So maybe Emma Roberts is on this feed, or maybe it's just me getting thrown out of the Javits Center by security. That has yet to be determined. But if you want to find out, and honestly, I would watch that second thing. This is the place to do it. The shorts are going to be up here on the YouTube channel, but the podcast is on all podcast platforms. Eric Cole, thank you so much for talking me through it.
Absolutely, man. I love talking prospects with you. Look forward to talking to you next week when we can kind of get back to some normalcy as opposed. Well, and I say that, and it's a guarantee that someone else is going to get promoted now. So we'll see.
Yeah, we think. I don't think it's going. Yeah, we're not going to be talking normalcy ever. It's the thought, but it's the thought that counts, but it's not reality. So join us next Tuesday at noon for more prospect chatter. For Eric Cole, I'm Adam Weinrib. See ya.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.